have enjoyed the offerings that we've made so far to our Lord and Savior through the song and praise and devotions. I thought maybe I wouldn't have to give a sermon this morning. Or maybe I could learn some. I always do, but I want to tell our sisters that she, it's, you know, she surprised me. I didn't know she could talk that long. Well, yeah, we're going to take her back to Philadelphia with us anyway. You know, we've been talking about the glory of God. And I think a lot of us don't know when that really was initiated. And I mentioned, I believe on Monday morning, I asked a question about who is God. And the statement in Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was moving upon the waters. And the next thing we hear in reference to God speaking is, he said, let there be light. And how many of you have read that statement and said, what was that light? Because we know if we go into the following verses in Scripture, we find out that the sun, moon, stars, and all of those things that we look up at, if we could ever, and recognize them as being created for the purpose of controlling our environment. And I had to think, what is this light he's talking about? And then I got to the first chapter of John, and it says, in the beginning, God created, I'm back in Genesis now. In the beginning was the Word. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was nothing created. That is, and we know that in him was life, and the life is the light of men. If you want to know where God revealed his glory, you go back to Genesis 1. And that light is his glory that's been revealed to us throughout the pages of history and through his word. And he's revealed it to us so that we could, you know, you would not understand one word in this book called the Bible if God had not made it possible for you to understand his inspiration and give us the illumination that's possible to make it a part of our lives as we walk with him and are given the instruction that we need to know to how to live for him and to be a representative of his testimony to the world. The world doesn't know. You know why they don't like this book? They don't understand it.
Right.
They can't fathom it. I've had some psychologists. Anybody ever hear to get in a conversation with psychologists? Oh, they'll tell you how educated they are. They'll tell you, what they've done to help society. They'll tell you that, they don't understand a God who's seems like all he does is beat up on people. You know, I've had Christians tell me that, or I guess call themselves Christians anyway. Had one at Temple University in Philadelphia sitting next to him at a concert, and we got in a conversation, and he said, he wanted to pick and choose what part of the Bible he believed and which part he could fit into his thinking. And I said, well, I told him, that's not going to work. It's, God hasn't made you the author of this book, you know. And, you know, but they go off on a tangent, and they want to be able to make it work for them rather than follow what he's done that's already going to work if you were willing to follow him. Now, why isn't this thing coming on? Well, I guess I'm going to have to put this down again. It don't want to talk to me. You know, God has made it possible for us to follow the path that he's chosen for us. And we talked a little bit about patriarchs the other day. But Those were individuals that he chose that he knew would listen to what he had to say. God's never picked anybody and said, you're going to do it my way or else. He told Pharaoh, I'm going to reveal myself to you. You're going to know who I am. But did Pharaoh ever follow him?
Nope.
He went his own way. And God's given up everyone that has that same opportunity that's got the, you know, something between their ears that they've been blessed with called a mind.
Yes.
And he's given us a conscience. Now that conscience tells us the difference between following the right way and the wrong. He's built it into us. It's not something that you have to go out and get an education for, because you come with that equipment from birth. Now, they had that in the Old Testament as God worked with these individuals. But most of them never got the idea that even though they knew there was a God, and you can read the pages of the Old Testament prior to Abraham and Moses and find that men didn't know God. But the problem was all they thought about was evil continually. They wanted to do it their own way. And, you know, there's been a lot of stories raised up about Nephilim and that somehow they had an interaction with angels. Jesus put that to bed. He said, hey, you're going to be like the angels in heaven. We're not going to have sex. There's no sex. They're new. They can't procreate or have any interaction with man that would cause another race to come from it.
Right.
They could corrupt you physically, maybe get you off on a tangent where you're doing things that are solely perverse, but they're not going to be the ones that are going to be interacting with you. You're going to do that with the rest of humanity. And God saw that that was what was happening and had to put it, hello, put an end to it. Don't. And you know what? We are not going in the opposite direction today with society. Okay. Well, it doesn't look any different. But that, if God had to let those folks go on, probably you and I wouldn't be here today.
Right.
We'd have been digressed into the degradation and rejection of God to the point where we'd have become so perverse that we wouldn't even be able to put up with one another. So he said, let's start over again. And he chose a man who was trying to do right in the middle of all of that. And he called him out in his family and told him, build that little boat there that I'm going to put you on, and I want you to take a number of animals, two of every kind, and seven for those that we're going to use for sacrifices. And who closed the door? God closed the door. And when he closed that door, it did something the rest of humanity had never seen. It started to rain. Now, you know, I keep hearing people complain about, it's raining again. It's, it's windy again. It's cold again. It's hot again. Get used to it. Or get over it, one of the other. But, you know, this is, in chapter 8, it tells us that summer, winter, hot and cold, harvest and planting, all of that's not going to cease until God calls a halt to it and redoes this place that we call Earth and renovates it by fire. He's going to clean it up.
Yep.
He's going to make it new. Yep. And then it'll be habitable for me and you. Yeah. So we just have to learn how to use what he's given us here for the time being and thank him for the blessing that it is. Rather than, you know, I look at the news and I think, it bores me to death because that's all they talk about anymore is what the weather is going to be like. And I say, well, you know, Lord, I'm thankful I got another day to enjoy it because, even though I know what my future is, I'm not in a hurry to say, Lord, just knock me over, you know, like Isaac. Who was it? Elijah said, Lord, kill me, because they're after me, and I'm the only one that's standing up against them. No, I don't believe that. I believe it. Like God told Elijah, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And I know there's a lot of you in here, too, that haven't bowed your knee to Baal. And you're going to stand on the promises of God.
Amen.
You know that? But that didn't help Israel, because Israel was called out to represent God as a testimony in a lost and dying world. Even at the point of, you know, where they would not give him the glory, because if you read in Numbers, it says they were worshiping demons.
Yep.
Yeah, that in the midst of all God was doing for them, they were still in idolatry. And they never really presented the witness to the world that he intended for them, and he still blessed them. He still kept them through 1,500 years of interaction until they got to the point where their hearts got hard, to the point where the priesthood became corrupt. And they started taking the lambs that they were offering. They were blemished ones, you know, couldn't see. I'm glad I wasn't a lamb. Had, you know, broken legs or whatever. And they offered those to God as a sacrifice. One that was supposed to represent his purity, his wholeness, his, you know, willingness to accept what was going to be the one lamb that would take away the sin of the world. And they're bringing these defunct offerings to him and saying, here, this is all I'm going to give you, Lord. I keep the best for myself. Christians, we got to get it right. We got to know that he wants all of us. He wants us body, soul, and spirit. And stop thinking about what I want to get out of life. He's not going to beat you up. He's giving you life. He's giving you all that heaven has to offer. Now just learn how to walk in it, talk it, and be a testimony, right? And Israel failed miserably at their attempt at it. And sometimes we think we have to go back and reenact what they were doing.
Yep.
We're not going to put ourselves on the altar. Jesus put himself on the altar of sacrifice for you and me. And yet, he didn't tell them, oh, I'm getting ready of you now. Some people think that the church has replaced Israel. No, you didn't. You didn't replace Israel. God is going to fulfill the promises he made to Israel.
Yes.
And he's going to do it in a timely manner. But we are not in the age of the law or Mosaic dispensation anymore. Yes? That's my name. Hello, Noah. I love you, dear. In the Lord, of course. And you know what? We have got to stop trying to appropriate things that don't belong to us. One of those sayings that just gets under my skin every time I hear it is, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will, you know, be the one who restores them to the land. God never promised you a land. There's not a Christian on earth that God's promised a land to. Our promises are heavenly. But yet we'll pray that song just like we were part of Israel, and ask God to, you know, give us an America that is like Palestine or Israel. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We have to rightly divide the word of God. And that means that we get to know it, know who was being spoken to, what was being said to them, and does it apply to the church, or is it a principle that I can take from it that I can use in my life? Now, I know I've got to pray, because God wants me to talk to him, you know. And I talk to him just about like I'm talking to you. I don't get all sanctimonious and, you know, Lord, give me an opportunity to be real religious now, because I know you're going to appreciate my coming to you, because somehow I'm going to ingratiate you. Nah, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less or any more. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And that means that before I was thought of my mother or father about whether they wanted to have me or not, God already loved me and knew me. And he's never going to stop loving us. And you know what? I can find out that the freedom that I have is because of the age I'm living in now and you're living in. It's called grace and truth.
Yep.
We're the church age. We're not better than those Old Testament saints, because God's going to raise the ones that were willing to put their trust and faith in him up at that day when he breaks those clouds and calls them out of their graves and gives them the opportunity to be restored as a nation over there in Israel. And we're going to be with him.
Amen.
I'm coming with him, and I'm going to be shouting the glory all the way home. Because this is something that we've been blessed with. We're not going to have to go through the trials of the tribulation period. He's going to call us out by coming in the clouds and saying, come up here. And I'm ready to go. I know, you know, the thing that we need to know is that today we have the opportunity of being salt and light to the world.
Yes.
We have the opportunity of revealing his glory in our lives, because Jesus, in that prayer in chapter 17 of John, that's the prayer Jesus prayed.
Yes.
The prayer in Matthew 6 is the one he told us to learn how to pray. You know, recognize that he is our Heavenly Father, and that he's given us the opportunity to call upon him and be instructed by him and live for him in that prayer in Matthew 6. But you've got to learn how to do that. There's four steps in that. Our Father, which art in heaven. First, he's my Father. He's in heaven because he's transcendent, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He can be here just as he is right now with us and still control all that we saw yesterday. What was it, yesterday? Or no, Tuesday at ICR. There's no place in creation that God is not present. There's no place and it doesn't mean that this microphone is God. It just means that everything that he's created, he's aware of and in control of. He is sovereign over the affairs of men. And you know what? That's a great thing to know, because we don't know what the day's going to bring. And we call upon him in the morning and say, Lord, I want to know what you want for me to be a part of what you're doing in this day. And you can't ask any more simple prayer, but one more acknowledging that you realize that he is God and that you're his servant.
Amen.
And when you get that mind of a servant, because Jesus served us, and we can serve one another throughout the day. We can, sometimes have to do things that are not pleasant. But not everybody is able to do everything. And the word tells us to bear with one another as much as possible. That means that, there's some things I'll do that you may not do, may not feel comfortable doing, but you can't put them on hold or say that we're going to ignore the situation or we're going to do something else and hopefully they'll get the help that they need somehow the way. No, we have to work together and see if we can't get the job done and be able to encourage one another to get up and keep moving. Because sometimes it's all it takes is to get somebody to understand that they need help, then give them the understanding that, hey, there's a means of doing this and I'm willing to walk through it with you. Now, I've walked with people that will tell me they don't want help. Now, you can't help anybody that doesn't want help. And You know, the only thing you can do is represent at that point. But if you find somebody that needs it and is willing to say, I'm willing to ask for it, I'm willing to accept it, and I'm willing to let God teach us how to be able to represent Him in the process, then you got two people that are going to accomplish what they intend to do. And there's nothing that the Bible tells us we're limited by. It tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yes.
That, and, yeah, he didn't say, you stop because you don't like that. Or don't go there because there may be some trouble. Or, yeah, let's see if we can't do it our way and figure it out on our own. No, none of that's in the Bible. Not the one I read anyway. And you know what? I thank God that he's able to do all things, because we can make a difference in a world that is different. It's different from when I was coming up. And I think most of you are not too far behind me, and that you realize that the world is changing on a daily basis. And we need to be about our Father's business, because I'm looking up every day. I'm saying, Lord, come quickly. Because we know that this situation is going to get out of hand one day. And God has promised that the church is going to be called out of here before that takes place.
Amen.
And if you're not in a hurry to go, don't be in a hurry to stay either. And you know what? It's glorious, because the church is a called out. We're not, our homes are not here. If you've put your roots down and you think, well, I'm going to get a new house, a new car, and a new job, and a new bunch of friends, make sure they're all going to the same place you're going.
Amen.
Amen. Because those things are something that we can enjoy and have the benefit of using them for His glory. You know, when you had a house, you can open up and say, hey, I want to invite you over so we can do a Bible study. I want to invite you over for a family fellowship, or I want to have you come over and we're going to do a sing-along or something. Any of the things that will help to get somebody to realize that there is a life that God has for them, and they can live it all by themselves, or they can live it within the family of God. Am I putting somebody to sleep here? No. But, see, we're told that God saves the last for best. And he said those that want to be first will be last, but the last will be first. And that's where we're at. We're at that point in time when God is doing the last of his gathering the family of God together. And all of those that were in that early number, you know, patriarchal age, they've gone on. If I'd been 65 years old and named Enoch, I might not be here tonight. I might be representing the church. You know, that's what Enoch represents. He represents the translation of the church to Jesus, because that's as he went up, we're gone up. And you know what Elijah represents? He represents the body of Israel that one day is going to be raised up at his second coming. We don't get up at the same time. The church leaves here through the rapture. Israel's going to be raised at his second coming. And then they're going to be put in the land God has given them to possess forever. Now, you say possess it forever. Well, when it's renovated and made new, it'll be their home forever. God gave the land to them, and the Bible says forever. I looked at that word, and I said, now, well, forever what? This earth is degenerating every day, but this is not the one we're going to live on in its present form. We're going to be on the new heaven and the new earth. And God has not given it up to anybody or anything. Whatever he starts, he can finish. And he's going to do a good job of it too, because it hasn't entered the heart of man what the Lord has prepared for those that love Him.
Amen.
God bless you.